This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2174. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded January 19th, Angola, Antarctica, Argentina, Austria, Belgium, Brazil, Canada, Chile, China, Cuba, Israel, Korea South, Madagascar, Mexico, Mongolia, Norfolk Island, Peru, Turkey, UK, USA, Vanuatu, unidentified, wireless charging of electric vehicles, and the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer. Here's the first of some corrections to last week's program about Angola showing up on two reactivated medium wave frequencies. Actually, there was only one. Jorge Garzón in Spain explains that he made a mistake, which unfortunately was picked up and published elsewhere. The only frequency really was 1133.5 kilohertz and not 1377.5. LRA 36 Antarctica has continued to be unheard, presumably during their midsummer hiatus, on 15475.98, reduced carrier USB. Broadcasts had been on Wednesdays and Saturdays around 15 UT for a widely variable length of time. However, via Horacio Negro in Uruguay, we have news of a special broadcast announced for LRA 36 Saturday, January 21st. They're calling it Uniendo Voces, or Joining Voices. And I suppose it will be only in Spanish, like all their other broadcasts. Although for this special, it would be nice if they would include some segments in English and other languages. It's produced along with RAI in Buenos Aires, dedicated to shortwave listeners, DXers and hams all over the world. It will be at 15 UT with a repeat at 19 on their regular frequency. Adrián Coro, director of RAI, and Juan Benavente, member of the Antarctic Joint Command, and Marcelo Ayala, journalist of Radio Nacional, who does a morning program on LRA 36, will be participating. Live interviews, interesting material from the sound archive of LRA 36, recordings of its first transmission, various IDs, and listener recordings from different times, and material from the media program La Rosa de Tokyo. Furthermore, they say this year is very important for LRA 36. During February, the shortwave system will be evaluated and measured in order to provide a new shortwave transmitter. The 10 kilowatt CCA will be returned to the mainland for repair, and I believe it's no longer been operating at full 10 kilowatts for some time. Also, they will install a new antenna for FM 96.7 and raise power from 25 to 250 watts. So once again, that's Saturday, January 21st at 15, repeated at 19 UT, 15475.98 RC-USB. And about RAI from Argentina proper, Ricky Long in Alberta says, the English broadcast via WRMI has been broadcasting the same program for weeks. The announcer at the start of the show says it was dated December 22nd, still being heard at 02 UT January 17th on 9395. He'd heard it before on January 6th. And Harold Sellers agrees, January 19th at 02 on 5800, that same December 22nd program. Well, I also heard it, and it certainly was well worth hearing, including a feature about Daniel Barenboim, one of 10 Argentines world famous. Hans-Peter Themann and Dr. Hans-Jörg Biener report 15 January about the domestic service of E1 via ORS Mostbrunn, Austria, has been reduced. The morning broadcast was more than halved. The Sunday morning broadcast was stopped, so the new observed schedule is from 0600 to 0633, no longer running until 0720 on 6155, except on Sundays. And also at 11 to 12 UT, still except on Sundays, on 13730. The latter broadcast, Gagar Paul in Vienna confirms, still includes a brief English newscast from the domestic service at 1152 to 1155. In case it wasn't clear, last week's item about Radio Onda coming back on the air in a couple of months on 9530. It was filed under Belgium, although it's very near the Netherlands border. Gary Pence, KM5X in Dallas. The X is exclusively via remote receivers, so it's easy to measure exact frequencies. For example, Radio Voz Missionaria Brazil, reactivated on 25 meters lately, he measured on 11750.639 at 0633 January 13th with many IDs. He was listening via the remote in Utah. But that one varies widely. It might be below 11750 some other time. However, his measurement is only 12 hertz lower than where I had found it, as reported last week on January 6th. Regarding CHU Canada on 7850, Art Delibere in Maryland says it's not unusual for me to hear the second harmonic during midday on 15700 on different receivers. Now, I don't think it's generated in my receivers. However, I, GH, have never run across any sign of this on my 19-meter band scans. Another second harmonic from CHU on 6660 has often been reported by Harold Froge in Michigan, another one I have yet to hear. And also replying to my observation that CHU resumed 7850, as of January 13th, Richard Lacroix in Ontario says, at 0330 I see CHU is back on the air, but I have to report that one of those inconsiderate high-frequency trading EHFT experimental stations is blissfully occupying a large segment of the band from about 7851 to 7910, with wideband data making reception of CHU extremely difficult on 7850. These experimental HFT stations on an experimental license have been popping up all over various portions of the HF spectrum, with complete disregard for other stations operating near or within the large swath of bandwidth they occupy. And he includes a screenshot to show what it looks like. Once again, IGH fortunately have never noticed any such interference here in deep North America. And Richard replies, there's been a lot of discussion of this in the HF Underground and UDXF IO groups. And he mentions some other frequencies have been hearing these swatches of energy, a term he coined, around 6890 and 11145. Claudio Galas in the 4th region of Chile at Barras Abajo reports on RCW, the Chilean shortwave station of questionable licensure, and some newer different frequencies for it. January 14th at 0300, 9585. Also at 0400. And then January 15th on 5815. The 16th at midnight UT on 5810. And the 17th at 0148 on 6210. Programming has ranged from IDs and music to football. Ron Howard in California reports on Beibu Bay Radio in China, 5050. That's Beibu Bay. On January 16th, he heard probably the best ever reception of their daily very brief English segment for 2 minutes at 1514. It was about Nanning's International Airport construction. Mainly, it's in Chinese and Vietnamese. Something's always wrong at RHC. What shall we pick this week? Ivo Ivanov, Observer Bulgaria, says, the Cuban spy number station, HM01, was heard on a Radio Havana frequency, 11760, January 17th from 2150. It should have been on 16180 at that time, scheduled Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturdays. Israel Radio, or rather now known as KAN Khan, has appeared on WRMI's schedule at 05 to 06 UT on 15770. But as of January 14th and 15th, Ivo Ivanov and Donny Rosenzweig say it's not really carried. Instead, something else during that hour, when they were probably getting Israel Radio via WRN, which is on their schedule. And via Hans-Jürg Wiener, this from the European Broadcasting Union, January 3rd. Independence of Israeli public broadcaster under threat, says EBU Director General Noel Curran. Concerned about threats to the integrity and independence of Israeli national public broadcaster Khan, in a letter to incoming Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And it goes into considerable detail about why he is concerned. Never mentioned here, nor hardly anywhere, is a cable TV channel called I-24, which has good coverage of the Middle East and, of course, Israel, where it originates. We get it on cable here in Enid on our channel 49, and it appears not to be under government control. Ron Howard in California says, am continually being amazed by the daily exceptionally good signal and audio. For over 2 months now, I have heard in English from the offshore waters marine forecast for various Asian locations. It's very readable, namely from HLL2 in Seoul, Korea, 5857.5, stronger on upper than lower sideband. As heard from 0900 to 923, closing on January 12th and 13th. Last week I was talking about how KNLS Alaska programming in English is broadcast via Madagascar World Voice at 02 to 04 UT. Gary Pence in Texas, KM5X, listening via remote in Utah, heard their other English program, which actually is African Pathways Radio, at 04 to 05 UT, January 16th, on 11824.970. This from Luis H. Esquivel, K6LHE, in Pomona, California. I'm listening to Radio Educación Mexico on 6185. They're playing very traditional Mexican music, but it's interesting that after two or three songs, they play an announcement saluting DXers that are listening to shortwave, specifying a particular area of where reports have been received. It seems they are not actually relaying their medium-wave feed at this time, concentrating on shortwave broadcasting. The program at 0430 UT is called Sintonía Libre. That was on January 16th, UT Monday. Annie sent a message on their website to their contacto and got what appeared to be an automated reply, but it shows their interest in shortwave reports. Then reached them that way via radioeducacion.edu.mx. And, of course, they are always off-frequency minus Gary Pence, KM5X in Texas, using that remote in Utah, measure them on 6184.969, January 16th at 0511. And another of his measurements, conveniently next in the alphabet, Voice of Mongolia, this time using remote in Missouri, 12084.875, January 16th at 1019 in Chinese. On last week's program, recorded January 12th, we had news of Radio DX Norfolk Island carrying out a new test on 5045. Incredibly, I misspoke the date of that test. It was not November 11th, but January 11th. Since then, he carried out some more tests, always notifying the world of Radio IO Group in advance, such as January 13th, between 0730 and 0830 UT, more or less, bracketing his local sundown. I know a bit earlier, actually, and I was able to detect here in Oklahoma a just barely audible carrier at 0724, but no more than that direct, so then I listened via the remote in Maui, Hawaii. He was playing some music such as Just a Closer Walk with Thee, and IDs I recorded for him for his original test last April sounded like this.
You are listening to Radio DX. Transmitting from Norfolk Island on 5.045.
That was January 13th at 0757. Nick says he was running 200 watts into a vertical antenna. Among others reporting this were Don Moman in Alberta, Tim Gaynor in Australia, Gary Pence in Texas, Bruce Churchill in California, Matt Francis in NSW, and Ron Howard in California. Later on January 16th, Nick Hotchko of Radio DX followed up with a detailed report about his tests. He says, thank you for tuning in and for your polite, detailed, and very enthusiastic reports. Your dedication to shortwave listening is simply astonishing. The reason why Radio DX exists is simple. It's here so you can chase it. Balsamative in BC, Mauno Ritula in Finland, or others reporting it. Nick says, transmitting at sunrise yielded a dozen reports from Finland, Holland, Austria, Germany, and Thailand. But Europeans were deprived of sunrise signal enhancement, which should have happened. He was planning one more session from 17 to 1830 UT, but as of January 19th, we have not yet heard about it. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2174, a non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Chris Krug, KC5IIE in Tulsa, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. in U.S. funds, but not necessarily. One may also contribute by money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Claudio Galas in Chile reports a string of Peruvians logged on January 17th on 60 meters from midnight 57 to 105, Radio Huanta 2000 on 4750 with news and ads, from 104 to 110, Radio Tarba 4775 with music, and from 110 to 137, Radio Logos 4810 with devotional. Several times a week I check for Voice of Turkey's English broadcast to North America at 23 UT on 5960. Sometimes it's on the air, sometimes not, and there's always some interference from East Turkestan as monitored via the remote in Holland. I was hearing it and logging all the details on January 13th. On January 15th, it could not be heard, maybe off the air or due to propagation. January 16th, definitely not on the air, just hearing Chinese. But on the 17th, they were back, and also not off the air on January 18th. They have several regular features, but you never know just when during the hour they will appear. On the last date, Feeling Supreme is what it sounds like in the recorded opening and close. However, the actual content of the program, it sounded much more like The Healing Spring. Of course, The would not make sense preceding Feeling Supreme. Mike Cooper sends a story from Press Association, January 19th, by Charlotte McLaughlin. Financial crunch point has put BBC World Service in jeopardy, says the chairman, Richard Sharp. The case is strong, he says, for the government to consider taking back control of funding the service, which faces financial pressures that have brought it to a crunch point. It needs a further 285 megapounds in response to the announcement last January that the license fee will be frozen for the next 2 years. Meanwhile, the cuts continue. Mike Cooper sends another story, this one from globalvoices.org. On January 12th, BBC Bangla issues its final broadcast after 81 years. It will pivot to digital news and content. That's the language spoken in Bangladesh and much of India, in West Bengal, hundreds of millions of people. The final Bangla language shortwave broadcast was December 31st. In the British DX Club, Mike Barraclough says, the EDF website has been updated to show that the radio teleswitch service will now be closing down on March 31st, 2024, rather than this March, as previously stated. There's been discussion as to whether BBC Radio 4 would leave Longwave 198, and it would then be used for teleswitching only, and whether the Longwave opt-outs would end. This has something to do with remote control, automatic control, of electricity usage using a Longwave transmitter. BBC said they plan to cease Longwave after 2021, and if service is required for RTS, industry would need to pay the whole cost of the infrastructure. But that was already as of 2 years ago. Something similar has befallen the Longwave transmitter in France on 162 kHz. Too late to fix last week, Ken Zicke corrects his info about hearing a call sign in code on a CODAR transmission. Actually, the frequency range was the same as the other reporter, not in the 7 MHz band, but 4450 to 4475 kHz. However, Paul Turk replies, I wonder if the IDs in Morse could be map-related rather than call signs. It's always nice to receive a real QSL in the P-mail, even more so when I had not yet explicitly requested one. Many thanks to Bill Hensel, who heard me mention on a previous World of Radio, picking up his Heifer Beacon PCO in Pine, Colorado. So he sent me a QSL already. It's on 13563.5, and I've heard it about five other times besides the one I mentioned. And he says the power is around 3.6 milliwatts. About that high-frequency trading interference to CHU Canada I mentioned earlier, a new issue of Ben Cobb's Experimental Radio News, number 7, is now out, not only covering HF, but higher frequencies. But in the case of HFT, he continues with more about experimental radio stations. For example, County Information Services has been issued WN2XCR, valid until January 2025, for its Indiana station using 44 high frequencies between 7 and 23 MHz, and leading to a maximum ERP of 384 kilowatts. Then there's Delmarva Broadband, WJ2XXS of Wilmington, Delaware, but the station is in Yorkville, Illinois. Between 6 and 18 MHz, ERP level 60 to 186 kilowatts. And Parable Broadcasting Company, Norfolk, Virginia, applied for WPBC with Christian Broadcasts in Illinois. It, however, granted experimental license WM2XZV at Batavia, Illinois. License for Skycast Services has been renewed, WI2XER, Riverhead, New York, first granted in 2016, and renewed its license for WN2XCF in Oxford Junction, Iowa, and Maple Park, Illinois, between 7 and 21 MHz. And DPA MAC continues lobbying to advance shortwave broadcast application filed in 2020. It earlier indicated it would fund its digital business news broadcasts from revenue derived from non-broadcast data services, not currently permitted by FCC international broadcast rules. With rising solar flux, so is the maximum usable frequency by F2. And Hardcore DX, Bill Smith, W1OW in Douglas, Massachusetts, says there's activity on the 40 MHz experimental band. January 15th at 15 UT, he heard U.S. experimental station WM2XEJ in Georgia on 40,680 kHz. And at 15:15 from Britain, GR9B. Both were in FT8 digital mode. A special event ham station to celebrate the 100th anniversary of WMC Radio in Memphis, Tennessee. This from Jim Pogue. Brandon Jordan, K2SWL, and I, KH2AR, will be operating special event station W4C, marking the 100th anniversary of WMC, Memphis' first full-service radio station. This will be operating from January 20th to February 2nd. WMC, now on 790, previously transmitted on 750 and 619 kHz. No details on times or frequencies, but he says, we look forward to contacting fellow hams worldwide on CWSSB and FT8 modes. We are having a nice QSO card printed, and will be happy to confirm all QSOs as well as SWL reports. About World of Radio scheduling on WRMI. I can now confirm that our brief tenure at 0830 UT Fridays on three frequencies is over. I checked last Friday and other programming was airing after 08 for 1 hour. The Friday 1530 broadcast on 9955 is usually not on shortwave, but part of it aired last week before it was cut off. There's also a new broadcast I had not mentioned before, Saturdays at 2230 UT on 5850 to the northwest and 15770 to the northeast. Latest WRMI schedule no longer shows World of Radio, Wednesdays at 10:30 on 5850. But our faithful monitor in Alberta, Richard Lemke, was still hearing it on January 18th, maybe for the last time. Been complaining about a noise burst over World of Radio, precisely when it starts on 7780, such as UT Sunday and Monday at midnight 30. Jeff White assures me that is not coming out of the WRMI transmitter. So I've monitored this further on a night when World of Radio was not scheduled, like January 17th at midnight 30. The signal-to-noise ratio varies depending on which remote receiver I'm listening to, but it's always a problem. It appears to fire every hour on the hour and half hour precisely, as if it's a channel staker not conveying any data in some digital mode. At 0400 UT, I was not only listening but watching the waterfall on the Maryland remote, and I saw identical size and length bursts not only on 7780, but also on 7760 and 7792 kHz. At least they are not broadband, so WRMI might escape them by moving to 7730. My other suggestion is that RMI shift all programming on 7780 15 seconds later. You've continued to hear at least a carrier from Radio Vanuatu after 07 UT on 7890 and or 11835, harmonics of 3945. However, on January 19th, Manuel Mendez in Spain says they were already on 11835 when he checked at 0555 instead of 7260. They had been switching from 7260 to 3945 in the harmonics at 0659. Probably because of Tropical Cyclone Irene. Ron Howard has been monitoring this closely. He can actually hear what they're saying. And there were storm warnings being broadcast on January 18th and especially 19th. When he was also hearing 3945 and the harmonics instead of 7260 before 07UT. And furthermore, he was still hearing the transmitter on the air, at least with an open carrier, as late as 1526UT on those three frequencies on that date. At 0627 to 0810, there was extensive special coverage of Cyclone Irene, latest info as to its location and wind speeds, often repeated twice, strong wind warnings, take precautions, listen to Radio Vanuatu, frequent list of things to do in an emergency, such as number 8, wash your hands. And he says there was CODAR interference even on 11835. The mystery open carrier on 5051 was again being heard on January 11th after having been missing for a night or two. John Hudak in Ontario is quite interested in investigating this. He's VE3CXB reporting to the Ontario DX Association. He's checking it via many remote receivers. He says it's well heard all over North and South America, Europe, and the Far East, stronger as you go further north, strongest in Sweden, Finland, Iceland, and Scotland, weakest in the Southern Hemisphere, but could still hear it in Argentina and Chile, and fairly well in Australia and New Zealand, barely audible in South Africa. After many hours of checking, he says, I've never heard any type of modulation. Richard Lacroix says there's also a thread about this at the UDXF IO group. In the medium wave circle, there's quite a discussion about inductive charging for vehicles and power transfer on freeways. It's been difficult to get any precise information about the frequencies involved for this radiated power transferring, but an educated guess from Darren Hennig in Manitoba is between 50 and 120 kilohertz on long wave, thus a great threat for even more interference to medium wave, if this takes off. He says, I suspect these inductive road charging systems will have harmonics of some sort. The tricks are on the receive end. You want enough inductance to generate current, but not so much to be too lossy. Tracy, G5VU, says the ITU is working on regulations for the use of radio spectrum for wireless charging of electric vehicles, which would operate on radio frequencies below 100 kHz, in particular 79 to 90 kHz. The propagation outlook from SWPC. B1 minor geomagnetic storm conditions are anticipated on 26 January, with ANK indices of 22 and 5. None higher than that, but active to unsettled conditions are likely on many other dates in the following month. Solar flux expected to drop from 225 January 19th to 185 January 28th and 29th, and back up to 210 by February 7th. And thus concludes World of Radio 2174. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations, Glenn Hauser hoping you found the program informative and will make a point of hearing me again next week, with a standard disclaimer.